As you meditate, bring the attention inward to the center of awareness. The center between the in-breath and the out-breath. The center between total relaxation and tension. The center between appearance and reality. The center between being and non-being. The center between the object and the subject. The center that is both silence and the eloquence of the supreme sound. The center between time and the timeless. The center between duality and non-duality. The center that combines all and nothing, emptiness and fullness. Abide as that consciousness beyond the mind, beyond thought, beyond form. Beyond concept. And feel the intensity of presence. When the heart is open to the true nature of your essence, the fullness of the power of being. Hearing the power of nature and the power of the super nature of pure divine presence. abide in that center beyond life and death. And feel the intensity of Shakti dissolving all the obstacles, all resistances to your infinite nature. And feel the bliss of liberation. From the limited self. Abide as the uncreated one, the unborn, the unchanging, the deathless. The absolute, egoless I. And claim the freedom that is your inherent right. Shiva. Parameshvaraya. Parashakti. Parabrahman. Buddha. Allah, Yava, Cristo, Krishna, Tao, Mahadevi, Dhamma. Artha Narishvara. Om Namah Shivaya. Shiva Namah. Om Shivoham. Namaste. Welcome to everyone. Welcome to those who are attending this satsang on the love stream. It's a great joy to celebrate this day that brings to a culmination a long period of work by many souls that is initiated and given its power by the Supreme One. And all who contribute at whatever level and whatever period, may they receive full blessing and empowerment to complete the journey to liberation in this sacred time. Twenty years ago today, Shiva sent me down here to play. Shunyamurti's Lonely Hearts Ashram. And we have today a harvest of the fruits of all of those efforts. First in the form of the shining souls who are here on this great journey of remembrance of God and of our divine nature, who are receiving the Shakti that brings the illumination and the ascension of consciousness to the supreme level. Through your love, your devotion to truth and to goodness, and to the generation of a world in which there is no oppression and no suffering, no evil, no negativity, no delusion, but the truth and the beauty and the goodness of our real nature that has been obscured by the false self, and that through the courageous effort of those who have peeled away the illusory obscuration of the ego mind, or are in the process of doing so, for that courageous act of self-realization and the service of God that it entails. This is a moment of celebration of the power of consciousness that we all share in unity. Not for any particular node of that consciousness, but for the unified field to express itself in its own purity and essence through the hearts of those who have recognized the truth within that can be only vaguely symbolized in language or in action, but that can be emanated through one's innocence of heart and one's generosity of spirit in giving and sharing, in sacrificing the ego for the benefit of all, which is what brings us together in this great work. So it's September 11th, and 20 years ago on September 11th, I was in France studying the language in order to study Lacanian theory, which at that point seemed to me to be the most avant-garde paradigm of reality that had been yet brought into manifestation through the work of Jacques Lacan and other psychoanalysts. And in the process of studying French, I was living with a family in the Alps in a lake town of Annecy, a very beautiful town. And I would take trips up higher into the mountains. And on 9/11, that which was toward the end of my journey, I was up in a mountain area and talking to some people outside a farmhouse, and I was called in, and there were the famous airplanes hitting the Twin Towers, and it was very clear that life had changed on our planet in a major way, which brought me to a very deep meditation out on a promontory on the rocks in the mountains, and I received a very powerful message and acted upon that message as soon as possible. And on January 11th, I arrived in Costa Rica. And a month later, February 11th, Radama arrived, and I think thanks to her karmic connection to Costa Rica and a knowledge of Spanish, we survived through a very difficult period. And it involved a lot of moving around from Londres to Capos to Playa Chiquita, was it after that? And then there was a mountain. What was the name of that area above Heredia? Was it? Birri, that's right. Beautiful little cabin there. And then Curidabat, we had a center, and that's where Mahalakshmi found the Sangha. And then we moved to a few places in Escazú, where I think the rest of the core group came together, I think it was 12 years ago, just a few days past, that we celebrated the anniversary of the ashram and the beginning of all of the retreats and processes that have brought us to this period. But what we're celebrating tonight is a book, completion of a book, that has been titled Coming Full Circle, the Secret of the Singularity. And it is full circle in many ways, one of those ways being that when the first group were coming together, I began writing weekly messages, thoughts of the week kind of thing. And they gradually accumulated, and over the period of years became longer essays. And so our idea initially was to publish all of those aphorisms and essays as they were. And we actually went as far as to have a proof from Amazon. Was it a year or two ago already? And I couldn't bear to publish it in that form because the essays were already somewhat shoddy and obsolete in their old form and needed to be elaborated, and the ideas, which were accurate at the time, that were predicting the kind of events that are now in play, but did so in a very much too brief and superficial a treatment, and so a revision was needed. And so somehow that came to pass with a lot of effort and a lot of resistance. I think thanks to my intrepid copy editor, Vajra, the book got done, because otherwise I probably would have delayed and delayed. There were always so many other priorities than spending a few hours revising an old essay. But with that push that was relentless, I kept going, and I appreciate that. And she is an incredibly talented and accurate copy editor. Her eagle eye spotted all the errors in my prose, all the comma splices, and forced me to answer all the questions on whether a word should be capitalized, italicized, or otherwise used in a different way, and long sentences shortened and cut into more. And she made my life very hellish, which is why we're talking from hell to Shiva as the next retreat title. Not the only reason, but one. She actually forced me to study prose style somewhat, and to come to some kind of consistency, which, as you know, is not my forte. But it finally worked out, I think, to a point where the book is presentable. As it is labeled on the cover, it's called Gems of Wisdom Volume 1, because there were, seven or eight volumes altogether of essays from different years. If we have the time and the will of Shiva to complete them, we will put out other volumes of these essays. But this particular volume, I think because the original writings were so short, allowed, it was almost like a blank canvas that allowed a complete rewriting from the perspective of what is needed now, what is most important and relevant for spiritual seekers to know in order to achieve sudden enlightenment, not gradual, and to gain the spiritual weapons necessary to defeat the internal demonic forces of resistance that want to hold one in ego consciousness and not permit the ascension into the infinite nature of our being. So I think that the downloads that came through and were published in the book, I hope, will be very useful on a practical level for those yogis who need a very clear symbolic paradigm in order to be able to refute and dissolve the egoic resistances and contractions and false beliefs that hold one prisoner of the ego unreality tunnel. So that's my hope, is that the book is a very practical guidebook that helps those who seek liberation to achieve it rapidly and completely. So it's a book that is intended to be of service. I want to thank Ajata for the beautiful cover design that he did, and that will be on the final paperback when that comes out on Amazon, in a few weeks. And I want to thank Parvati for her wonderful help in formatting the book. And she worked overtime to get it ready for today's event, as did Vajra. And I appreciate all of the effort that was made by them and by the whole Outflow team, and the readers who did the final check to make sure there was nothing horrific or outrageous in there. There were a few, but they were, I think, fortunately removed. And if there are more, so be it. There are two authors of this book. The real author gets all the credit, and the apparent author gets all the blame for any mistakes. Okay? But the real author is not this individual, but I took dictation the best of my ability, and in whatever ways this mind was too clouded to take it down accurately or clearly, then I'll take responsibility and whatever karmic consequences are imposed by that. But the effort was done as an act of service, and so I hope it will succeed in opening the consciousness to your own infinite nature so that all experience the eternal bliss that is your birthright as the unborn self, the one whose birth is eternally now, and that you are able to know that eternal present as yourself, free of all the limiting conditions and kanchikas, the coverings, the coats of armor that the ego tends to put over one's heart and over one's intellect in order to keep one in a state of dullness and ignorance of our divine power. And it's because we have fallen under the spell of the ego that the world is in the catastrophic situation that we are all suffering from. And the only way to be free of that external tyranny, because the dream is the world is a dream and a projection, we have to release ourselves from the internal tyranny of the superego, of the internal censor, of the subconscious fantasies and impulses that would keep us in the lower chakras and in self-defeating karmic patterns, and to free ourselves to become the great beings of divine consciousness and power that we really are. So it's time to remember our divine nature. And I hope that this book jogs your memory and opens the heart sufficiently to receive again the Shakti from the Supreme Source that is your Absolute Self. So that's the the prologue, I guess, to this evening, and the thanks that I owe to everyone in the Sangha for allowing, not only allowing me the time to complete the book, because everyone has been so efficient in all of the seva that everyone is doing to enable me to have the luxury of being able to contemplate and to put together this work, but also the ashram has been a priceless spiritual laboratory to enable me to see firsthand all of those resistances played out and all of the courage that you all have shown in persevering to overcome those resistances and have taught me all of the wisdom that I needed that isn't in books of psychoanalysis or Jungian theory, of what really happens within a soul who is in that cocoon of metamorphosis and what really is going on in the secret chambers of one's subconscious and one's seemingly private level of consciousness. And by allowing all of that to be revealed in atmanological sessions and in other kinds of interactions and meetings and enactments of the ego's ways and the soul's ways of responding, and to be able to see in real time the development of that morphogenetic process in which a group of separate individuals gradually comes into ever greater unity and harmony and mutuality of support and of vision of the divine nature of each of us, and the respect and honor that each of you have shown to each other, even in moments of glitches and regressions and karmic backlashes, to continue growing and overcoming those illusions of the ego is an extraordinary achievement. And so it's with great and humble honor that I thank you all for all of your inner work and all of your perseverance in sustaining the ashram so that we could reach this point. And I have a feeling that now that finally many in the larger world have awakened to the true nature of the situation, and that the optimal environment in which to attain liberation may be for some of them to live in an ashram like this, that we may just get more people applying to join our spiritual family. And of course, that would be very welcome. So we hope that some who read the book and are inspired to do so will be able to find their way here as well. And whether or not one can physically be a part of the ashram immediate family, know that all who are on the same vibrational wavelength are part of a single family, a single field of consciousness, a single unified self, wherever your physical vehicle might be in this plane of the phenomenal play in which we are reflecting our true nature in a drama in which we are all being tested as to the level of courage, of truthfulness, and of inner presence of what is real within us to come out and shine without inhibition, and to share that so that we create a network of unified consciousness that has the power to transform the global noosphere and bring about a new age. So that's all I have to say. And what I would like to do is to invite now our first four readers of this volume to say a few words about it, but please don't be too complimentary, certainly not of the apparent author, you can of the real author, but to talk a little bit about how the book may help others, its relevance, the readership, and the impact on you of having encountered this text. So I'd like to first honor Vajra by asking you to say a few words, because you read the book first and probably more times than anyone else, and that's appreciated.
Including last night.
Yes, I'm sure.
Where do I begin? I think that I actually have to thank my high school English classes because you would have 10 points off if you had a comma splice back in those days.
I got a lot of points off then, didn't I?
Well, you had me to help you so that we didn't fail in this mission. So, but it was an honor and a privilege to be part of the transformation of these gems of wisdom. I wasn't there when they were written and when they were first unveiled, but I'm sure that they were perfect for that moment in time. And in rewrite after rewrite, I just saw them kind of expanding into these, what has become these like very powerful lightning bolts of truth that are perfect for this moment in time. So I think somewhere in the book, Shinya calls it there's the absolute truth and the relative truth, and all of it is presented within the pages of this book. So I have no doubt that everyone who's called to read it will find exactly what you're looking for in exactly the moment that you're looking for it. And I think many, many nights when he would send the essays to me for safekeeping, I would just think, oh my God, he's writing to me, right? Like, this is exactly what's happening to me in this moment, and it's the perfect thing for me to hear. And that helped me, like that transformed those situations and allowed me to see kind of beyond whatever kanchika, whatever limitation was there at that time. But the other day, I don't remember who, somebody said to me, I think he's writing to me. It feels like he's writing to me. And I was like, yes, that's exactly it, right? The truth is for everyone, because we are all one. And when it's being kind of channeled through a being so purely and so divinely, everyone can feel it, and it touches every heart, and it opens every third eye. And this way, together, we can really understand that collective and unified consciousness. And in that belief, right, and in that realization, when I was feeling these transmissions of energy so deeply, I understood that there is a power, there is a force that's greater than any of us, that's guiding all of us. And it's going to take us into the next level, into the next dimension, if we allow it to. And those potentials and the limitlessness of consciousness is available to all of us. And so we just have to touch into it and use that belief to transition into what goes beyond belief. And I think that if you use the words and the wisdom and the truth that's available in this book and apply it to your life, you will see that for yourself. And this is a power that can't be denied. So I'm really grateful to everyone here and to everyone out there who's also here with us, because it's really beautiful to see the community growing and everybody that's coming, because they recognize that it's truth that's being offered here. And we need to stand for the truth right now in this time. And so I just want to say thank you again to Shunyamurti for all of his kind of selfless service and exemplary way of being. And I don't know where you find the time. He lives in the timeless, so there's infinite time to do everything. And it's such an inspiration. And in all of those late nights, I was not tired. I was just receiving, and it was a great gift. I think that's really helped my own development over the last year. So I think that I'll leave it there.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you, and I want to thank Parvati too. Without Parvati, mm-hmm. none of this would have been possible. She's the goddess of formatting and final touches. And I think she would want everyone to know if you click on the diamond at the end of each essay, it'll take you back to the contents.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow. Great. Thank you for the secret, the real secret of the singularity.
Okay.
Namaste. So I'd like to ask our Sarvadhikari, Mahalakshmi, to come up. Who was, I think, the second reader of the book, and who went over it to make sure that it was accurate in many ways.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Well, I have been pondering since I was asked to speak tonight what this book... what the impact of this book has been for me. And I had some trouble in really defining what did it bring to my life, to my awareness, how did it help me. But I found four or five things that I wanted to share with you tonight. And I think both Shunya and Vajra have spoken about truth, and truth is definitely my first appreciation of this book, because it has both, like you said, the relative and the absolute. So what is happening, the understanding, the connecting the dots, and I feel that's something Shunya has done, at least for this one, for many, many years. Finally, someone is describing what is happening, who I am, what is possible, and connecting the dots of a much larger understanding and awareness. And I think that the book brought that yet again, because the Transformational Imperative had done that a first time, his first book. And suddenly here's a second iteration, a very powerful one, that connected the dots. So truth is there, definitely. I also very much appreciate, I come from a multicultural family, and I always had trouble in just accepting one of the spiritual paths, because they all seem to me very logical and reasonable. And I think Shunya has an incredible way, and this is yet another example of how these all the spiritual traditions, in a way, are the same in their core. And he uses them throughout the book also to support this supreme truth, not the relative one, but the supreme truth that he conveys so beautifully. And finally, I think, and I'm surprised I even put the word courage, which has also been mentioned, along with truth, because I think that when I closed the book, my first thought was, oh my God, I wonder if this is the only being who is speaking the truth at this time. The world is in such turmoil. There's so much happening. So much misinformation and lies, and I mean, I could go on and on. And suddenly, here's a being who has the courage to speak the truth, and I feel very, very honored to be part of a group that has retreated in the mountains of southern Costa Rica, the Misty Mountains, and is doing every possible effort to live in truth. And to convey and share this truth with the world. So I have a few others, of course, that I wanted to share. Empowerment, it was the second, but they're in a tie, truth and empowerment, because there is a way out of this nightmare that we are in, and this book did that to me. It empowered me. It reminded me. It taught me. Brought up all these different ways, whether it's through the study of these different paths, but also through the... there is hope, and there's a way out, the great escape from hell. There is an escape from hell, and that's one of the essays. So hope is a third one, of course. Because when one reads these beautiful words, I don't know, the heart just expands with delight, with even a remembrance, because we, deep down inside, we know all this, but maybe the hopelessness that we were in this current time of the world was in a way erased, and hope arose. So it filled me with great hope, joy, and finally, freedom. Freedom is the final, I would say, feeling that I was left with. The freedom that truth brings, that love brings, that the I think you mentioned the law of divine love, the supreme goodness, the power of supreme goodness can bring. And it just is freeing. And it's how I interpret the invitation, and comparing it with your first book, The Transformational Imperative, which was an invitation to transform, saying, oh, this is what's going to happen. You know, if you want to be of service at that time, you need to start your transformation, and you need to start changing and taking a path. And actually, my favorite essay that struck me the most was the opening one. It's called The Search. But it was about search. This is the time. The time has come for you to search. And I feel this new book is more about the time has come to fly and to ascend. And as you said recently, to awaken even deeper than where we were or we thought we were, to be illuminated and to ascend to the light. And so to me, this is a book of ascension, an invitation of ascension, an inspiration to ascend, a call to ascend, maybe the last call to ascend. We're very near the window of opportunity. And that's why, in a way, it's a full circle as well between the invitation, the original invitation, and now the final call for the ascension. So just to end, the book is magical for me in the way that the words not only convey wisdom and truth and love and hope and freedom, but they are charged with spiritual power, with energy, with shakti. I remember the first day I started reading, I read for 2 or 3 hours in a row, and I was like really very charged at the end with this beautiful energy. And so whether you ambulate or circumambulate or circumambulate the book, meaning you read one essay or several in a row or in whatever way, they will have that power if your heart is open, if your mind is receptive, and if your intention is the purest, because it has that magic as well. So I think I've said enough. I, of course, want to thank you, your courage, your truthfulness, and I feel very proud to be part of the Sangha and to have your guidance every day, as we all have here. And I hope that many will benefit and transform and ascend, hopefully, into the light, like the butterflies that you mentioned also in one of your essays. And we become Buddha flies, not butterflies only. Okay, well, namaste. Thank you very much.
Namaste. Thank you. And speaking of Buddha flies, I would like to invite Marjiva Ma to come up and say a few words. She's been here since those early days and had read the essays in their original form, and now can compare the two and have gone through your own metamorphosis. So it's a joy to have you come up and speak.
Beautiful night. Thank God for this occasion, for every occasion. The power that grace that I feel evermore from above, so below. And it is true, I was in 2003 transformed by these essays. The Humpty Dumpty of the ego had fallen and cracked. And through the crack, the power of the essays were able to pierce through those cracks and connect, you know, activate these last embers that the soul had. And it was from that place that I knew I had found finally, I won't tell you how old I was then, my mission in life. It hadn't been until then that I had felt there was anything that made sense for me to do in this world. So this coming around fully again in 2021 to those early teachings and reading them now in their revised form, more open-hearted, more open-minded, the transformational power is ever more present in the goodness, in the goodness, God's goodness, that in this very apparently dark times is so palpably felt. And this is how I have been impacted, especially in this revision. And each page, each essay, I am flying with the essay. I am the essay. I am the text. And there is a power of unity that the essays that is evident in everyone, and that power of unity, of integrating the darkness with the light, is happening within as the essays are read and recognize that it's one's own metamorphosis indeed that is taking place. To whom would I recommend this book to? Well, from this little prologue, anyone who feels absolutely crushed, broken, okay, without a purpose, out there in Kali Yuga, as we call it, this is for you. Anyone who feels they've been shunned, you know, your friends don't want to talk to you anymore. You don't got any friends, okay? Your job's about to go down the drain. You know, your boss is going to fire you if you don't do you know what. And you forget your family, you know. They'll brush you off if you ever mention the words. So if you feel, you know, you're in that ostracized position, and everybody else's head is in the sand, and no one is listening to you, no one cares, well, this is for you. You'll hear it. You will know you're being heard. You know you're being understood, and that you do have friends. You do have a family. You do have a community. And you do have hope. The blessing in disguise is here now. And the, I think that, is there anyone perhaps I've left out? Maybe if you even have a little doubt that, no, you're not through yet, you know, out there. There's still hope. I can still do something. Oh, you know, just that, you know, that one more fling, please. That will get me ready, you know, for a spiritual life. Whatever it is, you know, if you're still in that off-center, this is for you. It'll bring you to center. The words are crystal clear, razor sharp, and they are to this soul a lighthouse of hope, of safety, of love, of light that is our right to be, to manifest. And I wish us all blessings in realizing our divine right to be free of all suffering, all negative beliefs, all darkness, and return to serve from as God's will on this plane as the Good News Bible.
Haji. Thank you, Maji Huma. Beautifully said.
Namaste.
Namaste. Last but not least, I would like to ask Radhama to come and say a few words about the book.
I will try to say just a few words. Obviously, you all know that this book is one piece of a larger collection of Shunyamurti's teachings that include his being and his training modules and his drishti and satsang and other forms of writing, his art of interpretation of daily life and how that translates into the self and many other realms. And the book, for me, sums up everything you have taught me. The art of having a life, the art of redemption and transformation. And I would say now what this book actually speaks to, the art of death and apocalypse. And what does that mean? How to unite love and death in oneself? And I feel extremely fortunate that I've been able to go through learning to be a symbolist and what transformation is and what redemption is in order to not feel fear in these moments. And the book, I was recently reading about Zen art, in which what is happening in Zen art is one thought. And that's what I feel this book is. It's one download, as you said, you received, I know, many times, but the big lightning bolt years ago on Mount Tam. I can feel that this is the unity of all of those thoughts. So I feel Shunyamurti has always shown us how you must purify and live your daily life in an exalted way in order to enter into the vertical dimension. And so these essays are really that. They're perfect mirrors into every possible egoic stain on the horizontal sphere that one can have so that they can be cleaned up. And they're excruciating. And as you've always said, if you feel the pain, then thank God you're alive. You're not half dead. You can actually transform. So, of course, one of my favorite sentences out of the book is, we must admit our secret envy and unrequited desire for people we hate. Right? If one can work through that, that means you're halfway to transcendence. Shunyamurti also has taught us, he himself, I feel, is this, what hermeneutics is, the art of interpretation. And I will reiterate that the book is that. It is a masterpiece of interpretation of what is happening in this moment. It's very, to me, anti-postmodern in the sense of stopping the flow of the garbage, of the constant, who knows, and could it be, and maybe, and it could be so, and what if we were, and would we could be all, and the montage that happens in thought today. It's very in the line of perennial tradition, and I feel, restores the true function of language, which can't be thrown out until one has actually transcended language, as you've taught us so many times. So these are your words that I feel you've brought to our attention recently, but I would say that as a tome, as a work, it really expresses the urgency and the immediacy of the poetry of unity, because you're also a poet. So, of course, as Vajra spoke and others spoke, there's all these different aspects that are being highlighted, and if you're an old soul, all of it will resonate at some point. I know that I started out my life with a phobia of fear, extreme phobia of fear. And when I met Shunyamurti, one of the first things he told me was that he used to tie himself to trees in hurricanes and just love to feel the power of the wind. And I thought, this man is crazy. I would never, never get near wind in that way because of my early trauma. And so, again, here reiterated back to myself is the transformation of the trauma into its opposite, which is the understanding of wind as spirit, and probably somewhere I knew I was terrified of spiritual truth. And I also feel that this book speaks to that, that if there is terror in the soul or the ego, which I know there is for many beings, that the book will help you overcome it, because you will see what you need to work on, not how, and I might be saying this wrong. How, I feel, is what you were referring to when you quoted Leon Felipe, his poem that everybody finds a camino virgen to God, but you show the way. And I just want to read The Wind of Spirit, two little sentences of it, because this is probably one of the most powerful pages in the book for myself. Spirit is the force of truth. The power of truth is irresistible. It blows down the structures of falsehood like a great unceasing wind. It can blow away a life built on false pretenses. The wind of spirit eventually blows away whole societies built on lies. The wind of spirit rushes through the soul, sending it into rapturous delight, and presents the awesome symbolic splendor of the most hidden mystic knowledge, twisting words like weather vanes, pointing them in new directions unknown to any compass transcendent of space and time. Spirit opens speech to astonishing new meanings, widening and deepening the capacity of human consciousness to capture and contain the immeasurable profundities, powers, and piercing prophecies transmitted by the Supreme Self. And that paragraph, for me, is this immediacy of the poetry of the unity on every page. I wanted to just read one last thing before we end, which is my most favorite paragraph of the entire book, of the seven songs of the soul, and where I place myself now, which is also, I feel, the whole point of all of Shunya's teachings, is where are you? What's going on? What's actually happening? And how to find a way to leap into that infinite self. So he speaks of the seven songs. We're on the fifth song now, and he's speaking of this next piece of music as the fifth omaggio. I think you mean the passaggio, and he turned it into omaggio. Passaggio is, right, that narrow passage that classical singers spend 25 years trying to create between the different registers of the voice. But of course, om is the way that we make the passage from the lower register into the higher. So Shunyamurti says, the next piece of music, the fifth omaggio, was named by the ancient Greeks the Nocturne of the Noble Nu, or Nous. I don't know, I think it's mm-hmm. Nu, but some Buddhist critics refer to it as the song of mind still bright in the night of time. That's my most favorite sentence of the book. Others entitle it Ballet of the Buddha Mind. Some Vedic performers prefer the label Virtuoso Variations of Vijnana. The Athenians only played it on Apollo's lyre, and it could only be sung by Orpheus and Sophia, together with a chorus of the Muses of Sagacity. The lyrics are too profound and paradoxical for most people to follow, alas, but at the end, the song resolves into a very simple ritornello. And ritornello is a section that the full orchestra plays in between sections of a concerto grosso. So this is, I feel, Shunyamurti's musical masterpiece as well, in which the self, he shows us, returns in the midst of this horrifying moment. And I had to look up sagacious, or sagacity because I wasn't clear, and it seems that the same root of sage is mm-hmm. is where the word sagacious comes from. Mm-hmm. So this book, in sum, for myself, is an exegesis of life written by Shunyamurti, which is the critical explanation of the way. Right? A really critical explanation to know each moment what is going on that contains accurate mental discernment, keen practical sense, is farsighted, has quickness of perception, and is able to make good judgments along the way. That's from the dictionary. But the point is this, that it is the critical explanation of how to escape from hell, as one of the essays is called. And I think the greatest gift that we have on earth right now is to have someone who can interpret the signs as you do and put them into such a beautiful piece of poetry. Thank you. Namaste.
Thank you, Radhama. Radhama will be leading the book group that will start on Wednesday, and I'll be also participating in that, as will other yogis, and hopefully the whole Sangha will contribute as we go through the essays and draw out more of their implications and their usefulness. So thank you all for those comments, and I hope that those who read the book find that it lives up to those presentations of these initial readers for you. Coming full circle refers at the macrocosmic level to the fact that time itself is a circle, and that we are coming to the end of a cycle of time now and very close to an omega point. And an omega point is also both the end and a new beginning. But to get from the end to the new beginning, one must go through a singularity. It's interesting that the word singularity, if you look it up, has two different meanings. One is the meaning of the condition of reality prior to the Big Bang, prior to the explosion of space itself, and of time, and of matter, and of energy, in the initial state of the real. That's the singularity from the perspective of a cosmologist. But now the word has been used by transhumanists to refer to the end when the human species has been overcome by artificial intelligence, its own Frankenstein, and that intelligence no longer requires the human carbon-based machinery to direct it and is able to eliminate the human species and function in a completely inhuman, not just transhuman, but a robotic and soulless manner. And so this is definitely the end, but the power that created and sustained life through the whole process of history is not going to allow the artistry and poetry and beauty of God to end with such a bizarre outcome. And so this is actually the most auspicious moment before the end, when the return of that power of God and of Spirit undoes the machinations of the artificial and demonic mental entities that would take over the world and shows who's actually in charge and what reality really is, and how that reality is of a far greater freedom of transformation than any of the beings within it who mistakenly think that they can control it. And so that original and total power of consciousness is now returning into the phenomenal plane to bring about the ultimate revelation of the true nature of God as the universe, as the multiplicity, and to bring all of that multiplicity back into the unity, the singularity of the light and the original power prior to the expansion of this cosmos, and to recreate it in the image of the absolute beauty and goodness of that Supreme Self. So in this most auspicious moment that can look like the worst of times, it's actually the best of times, and the moment in which all of us will ascend back to our original nature. So it's a very hopeful book, as these four witnesses have testified, and hopefully those of you who read it will be inspired to discover your own inner power of God consciousness, to overcome limitations, fear, and the identification with a mortal body in order to realize your own immortal and eternal, blissful, intelligent presence that is deathless and able and authorized to redream the world in the most beautiful way that your God self can imagine. Okay, I'd like to open the floor if there are questions on the love stream or comments or questions of anyone here who has read the book. How many here have read it already, or some of it? Yes? Okay. So if you wish to say anything or not, the floor is open. And if we have questions, Purusha, from online, let me know that. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Shunya. It's a joy to celebrate this joyous event with our virtual Sangha around the world. And I just wanted to say that we have people tuning in from Indonesia, the U.S., Canada, Costa Rica — it's a longer list tonight — France, South Africa, Ireland, Brazil, Scotland, Sweden, Australia, England, Belgium, Mexico, Bulgaria, Spain, Holland, Russia, Israel, Uruguay, and probably many other places. Our first question tonight comes from Anuradha, who says, "It's an honorary delight to be with you again, Shunya, wishing you many blessings and celebration in the release of this beautiful book. You have mentioned a few times that in the event of a catastrophe, and if called for, the ashram will go off-grid, and that time is coming soon. What do you mean by going off-grid in this context, and how much will that impact the warriors who wish to join you in the local space? I'm trying to make such a journey, which is proving to take time, which is why I'm asking. And finally, may I bashfully ask for your blessings and the soul's purpose to carry out life in the ashram?"
Indeed, you do have that blessing. That's why you've been invited, Anuradha, and not to worry. I'm sure that the window of opportunity will remain open. And it's not in our control whether the grid goes down. That would be something that would be caused by other forces. But hopefully it would affect us very little, except that we wouldn't be able to do this live streaming, and everyone would be pretty much having to develop our telepathic capacities to remain in communication on a global level. But other than that, we are preparing for that time and developing our food security and water and all the other preparations necessary for living in a world under very different conditions that may soon be forced upon us, because of food shortages that will affect the world, and other kinds of events, both man-made and natural, that will change life on Earth for everyone. But not to worry. If it's meant by God for anyone to be here, somehow you will be able to make your way here safely. So have no fear. And that's true for everyone. Our destinies are already determined, and the more that your yearning for God and for liberation is present in your heart, and you are open to receiving inspiration and downloads, you'll be guided to navigate through this time period without any difficulties that you cannot overcome with your the beauty and the grace of the presence of God within you and protecting you from without. Is there anyone here who would like to say anything about the book or ask? Yeah, Hanuman.
I haven't read the whole thing yet, but what I have read is... I haven't read the whole book yet, but what I have read has been very inspiring, especially right now. I feel very aware of the limitations of who I think I am and who I've been throughout my life, and I feel that it's becoming really unavoidably clear to myself how impossible the situation is to fix from within the ego mind, and I see how easily I deceive myself in thinking in the conscious mind that I'm trying to help, and really there's all kinds of other things happening that create situations where it becomes something that I totally didn't expect, and I feel like I've been trying to like an insane person make change happen by doing the same things over and over again, and I know that there's one level of seeing it as perseverance and persistence, but I think there's also comes a point where I have to see myself as insane. And I think that what I've read so far in the book has really, like you at the beginning said, you had a struggle with consistency, but I feel like it to me feels very consistent, because since I came here, you've always been pointing to that which I have not yet been able to really find within myself. But I know a part of me that remembers something that connects to that and that really yearns for that and has kept me going, even though there's been a lot of resistance and a lot of frustration. And so I look forward to reading it more, and I look forward to reading it together. And I just want to appreciate the inspiration that you've been in this life and very grateful.
Thank you, Hanuman. I appreciate that. And I know that you will be successful in your transcendence of the insane ego, and all egos are. It's not yours in particular. But the force of of your real self is giving the grace that will actually free you. But the more courage you have to break through the resistances of the ego, the more that grace will come from above and lift you up into the great joyous recognition that all along you knew you were just playing a game and pretending to be stuck in an insane ego, but it was just for the sake of the drama, and really all along you knew you were an actor who was portraying that part from a place of already being liberated. So thank you for your honesty that you have shown all the way through this incredible journey. Anyone else? Okay, Purush.
Thank you. I just want to say there's many, many beautiful comments in the chat tonight. Too many to say right now, but I'll submit them to you. Our next question comes from Caden, who says, how do I know if I am to remain where I am and do my inner work in spite of the tightening grip of tyranny, or move to a like-minded community where it is being done en masse?
Hmm. Well, I think that will require you to do a deep meditation and to really ask yourself within, do you feel free karmically to separate from whatever is your environment, your attachments, your loyalties to any limited group or biological family or situation, and to go to a different, not only location, but a different level of your consciousness without looking back, without nostalgia, without doubt. And you will, if you are in a state of deep meditation and you contact your real self, you will reach a point where you are moved in a way that will be beyond any kind of doubt. And you will have to move. It will be a drive that will come from a place that you know is your own divine nature. And then it will happen effortlessly. Until then, I would stay and do the inner work where you are, but ask for the grace. And the more that your devotion to the source of power and of intelligence and of will is able to reach you, then at that moment everything will shift, and you will move into the next phase of your life, and it will happen effortlessly and without any lingering sense of doubt of whether you were accurate or not. But you have to allow that power of truth to guide you.
Newman. Thank you, Shinya. I have two questions, if I may. The first is, you mentioned the book group that will be starting on Wednesday night. And I wondered if there was some reading that we might want to prepare, the specific essays that you'd like us to look at, and would you like to say anything more about the group?
Yes, I think that we haven't entirely divided up what's going to happen each week, but I think that if we read the initial material and then the first essay following what is called in the book the first movement or intimations of immortality, that essay is called Who's in Control. Okay, so let's read up to there for Wednesday. I think that would be plenty to cover, and it would enable us to get into some very deep waters right away. So that would be my recommendation. And those who open the book will find that the first page is entitled The Last Page. And at the end, the final section is called The First Page. This is kind of an homage or omaggio, perhaps, to, of course, James Joyce and Finnegan's Wake, which starts with the second half of a sentence that at the very end of the book, you get the first half. And so you're invited to then go back. It's the idea of, again, a full cycle and everything being cyclical. And we are now coming full circle to the end of time, and so we need to read the last page so we know teleologically where we are going to end up and can be there now so that then we can realize that our future is actually also our past, and we've already been through it, and it's effortless and very clear, and everything will unfold perfectly. And once we recognize the perfection of everything that happens, then all fear and all doubt will fall away. Okay.
Haji, looking forward to it.
Lakshmi.
I've been wanting to ask this question since I read the book. Uh-oh. You divide the book into four sections. Uh-huh. You call them movements. And there's no explanation in any of the introductions of what is the meaning of each movement? Why have you grouped those particular essays in those categories or sections? And perhaps you could speak a little more about them. The first one you just mentioned, right? Intimations of immortality. The second one is approaching the omega point. Then there's the creeping apocalypse, and what was the fourth movement? The singularity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think those titles speak for themselves, but the idea of movements, again, is a musical metaphor, and sonata form has that kind of a quadripartite section of movements. But originally, the book was divided into different time periods in which the first movement originally were very short aphoristic thoughts, and then there were proto-essays, and then they evolved into longer essays at the end. And now I've added a final section that wasn't in the original. It's not a revised essay. It's an actual new one, as is the material of the beginning segment of the book prior to the first movement. This is all new, written just now. And so it was able to be developed almost with that kind of musical intention of going ever deeper into the subject of consciousness and the nature of the self and the peeling away of the layers of obscuring and resistance, etc. And in each movement was representing the achievement of a different level of clarity and of sattvic purity and of recognition of more and more of the self's true nature, until in that final essay of the equation of relativity, we understand the relationship of the relative and the absolute and the universe itself as a mirror of that supreme reality. And that whole metaphor of mirroring is explained and enables us to go through the looking glass into the ultimate reality that never appears and is beyond time and space, but is always now and always I. Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else here who would like to say anything before we adjourn? No? Okay, then. Ashok?
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
In the process of writing and receiving the book, mm-hmm. was there any key insights that you received that stood out to you that you can share with us tonight?
There are so many. I mean, the whole book is that. So, I dare not try to find one. But I think that it's the entirety of the process of the unfoldment of truth in anyone's life that is attempted to be mirrored and enabled to be uncovered through the recognition that one gets by the reading, that this is your own story, your own unfoldment, and your own recognition that all along you have been the designer of this dream, and that the outcome will be the realization of yourself to yourself as all that is and that ever shall be. And it's that totality of self-recognition that is the ultimate point of absolute presence that is pointed to and recognized as the nature of our being as light. Okay. So, last call, last chance. Anyone here would like to say something? Okay, Nirgun.
Thank you, Shinya. We've been speaking about going from escaping from hell, and it's one of the essays in the book. And the next retreat is called, as you mentioned at the very beginning, From Hell to Shiva. Mm. I know that a lot of people watching online will want to be able to join us for this seminar. Could you speak a little bit about what we'll expect?
Mm-hmm. The phrase From Hell to Shiva appears in one of the esoteric Kashmir Shaivite texts of the Swatantriyavada, as it's called, the path of absolute freedom. And it's a very powerfully developed set of sutras, of explanations of the steps of the unfoldment of one's inner reality to the point where the intensity of one's infinite essence is able to break through all the resistances and the bondages of the ego and the soul to achieve sudden enlightenment, sudden realization and liberation. And because we are at the extreme end of time, we don't have the luxury of a gradual path any longer. And so this retreat will be a retreat in which is aimed at helping you reach sudden enlightenment, immediate, without having to pass through all the intermediary chakras and assemblage points, but to go instantly from hell, the hell realm of the ego, to Shiva consciousness, the absolute supreme self and Lord of creation that is the true nature of consciousness, and to be absorbed into it without remainder if we are ready for that, and if we have the courage to let go of our anchoring in the illusion, then this is what is going to happen, because it's meant to happen. It's the time for it to happen. The grace of that supreme power is with us. And so the retreat is going to be aimed at that very high level of our power of self-liberation for those who are ripe and ready for it. So I hope all of those who yearn desperately to be liberated from the matrix will attend and help create the energy field that will free all of us at once. Okay, well, thank you all for joining tonight and creating this energy field. And I wish you all blessings for liberation from whatever bondages you might individually still be feeling, and to reach that inner peace and presence and silence and timelessness that is your true nature as formless, bodiless, uncreated consciousness, and to abide as that in every state of consciousness of the body, that your own presence does not change, and that you can realize that presence while the body is eating, sleeping, dreaming, waking up, working, whatever it's doing, in whatever state of consciousness, there is a timeless, changeless presence of blissful consciousness that is egoless and complete and fulfilled and shining with infinite light. And may you know that as your real nature here and now, so that the luminosity of your being is able to saturate our world with that vibrational frequency and bring everyone to the capacity for their own self-illumination and liberation. Thank you all for your great service. Namaste. Okay. And I look forward to joining also in the study group from time to time and answering questions and to using the book in our future work to accelerate our process of liberation. I do hope that it's helpful for everyone. And I wanted to say one other thing for the Love Stream people. If there is an interest in an audiobook, I'll take the time and actually read the essays even though I've never read an audiobook myself and was born and raised before they existed. But I'll do it because I know nowadays people prefer to listen than to read. And so if the interest is there, let me know, and we'll make it happen. And other than that, we'll try to go to volume 2 as soon as possible. So thank you all. Namaste.
Thank you, Shinya.
Thank you.
Namaste. Namaste. Thank you, everyone, who's joined us on the live stream tonight. It's been an amazing privilege to be able to watch all the comments and questions that have been coming in, such an outpouring of love and gratitude for these teachings. And we share with you that commitment to the truth that you're all expressing online. And it's really such a joy for us here to know that there's a whole world and we're all coming together in unity to bring about a new world in peace, in harmony, and in truth. So thank you so much for joining us tonight. My name is Nirgun. I'm part of the Outflow team here at the Ashram. And tonight is brought to you courtesy of the entire Sangha. Everything that we do wouldn't be possible without every single member of our community. So it's from all of us that these announcements are made and that this evening and every offering comes to you. So the book is available online. I know people have been asking on the chat. It's available on our store, so please do visit our store on our website and get your copy. We hope very much that the Amazon paperback will be available very, very soon. And for those that pre-ordered, you should have already received it in your inbox. And if you haven't, please do email Vajra, who you met earlier on, and you can reach her at store@satyoga.org. So the book and the proceeds that are raised from the book help us to disseminate these teachings for free all around the world. And the Satyoga Wisdom School and Sangha and Ashram are supported by the love offerings of our worldwide Sangha. And it's with that love and generosity that we are able to function and deliver these teachings to you. So thank you so much for being part of this mission in this time. So as Shinya mentioned, on Wednesday, we are going to start the members book group. So it's going to be a chance for all of us to read the book, to reflect on the book. That's going to be facilitated by Radha Ma. And so if you are a member, look out for an email from Purusha on Monday with the details of how to join us. And if you're not a member, take this opportunity to become a member. Take advantage of a free trial that we offer, a 10-day trial. And you can find all the information about that on our website as well. So we hope very, very much that you'll be able to join us. It's a 12-week journey. A book group is something that we do here at the Ashram. We've been doing it for many years, but this is the first opportunity that we've had, first of all, to do it about a book that Shinya has written, and also to do it virtually with our beloved members of our worldwide Sangha. So we look forward to that. Shinya mentioned the audiobook, so if you are interested, please let us know in the comments. I don't know, Purusha, if it's already off the hook, but thank you, and we hope to be able to make that a reality as soon as possible. As Shinya mentioned, the next retreat, From Hell to Shiva, will be taking place in 2 weeks' time, Friday, 2 weeks. So please do join us for that. These are very intensive weekend seminars that will include satsangs, wisdom teachings, guided meditations, question and answer sessions. So there's lots of opportunities to ask your questions to Shunyamurti directly. And with these weekend seminars, we want to be able to get the wisdom out to as many beings as possible, as many sincere seekers as possible. So we are very, very pleased to be able to offer a pay-what-you-can scholarship. So if you are having financial struggles at the moment, please don't let that be a reason not to join us for this weekend upcoming on the 24th of September. That's it. Everything I've mentioned is in the links are in the description below. Purusha might have been also sharing them in the chat as I've been going. But I want to take this opportunity again to thank you so much for being a part of our Sangha, our family, and for being with us on this journey back to the self. It really feels tonight, the energy online and here in the room, it really feels like this augmentation of energy. So thank you so much for being a part of that. And we hope very much to be able to see you very, very soon. Blessings to everyone, wherever you are in the world. Thank you. Namaste.